And Ali Al-Saloom, ask Ali anything you want to ask Ali about Emirati culture to understand a little bit better. And with the books, Ask Ali, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, the reason for those books came out of visitors to the region to understand where they were coming to and places to go, things to do, but also opening the window into the Emirati culture. Now, Sami, when we are talking about wearing the hijab or the abaya, as a cross-cultural psychologist, what would your take be? And then, of course, we hand it over to Ali. But if a woman was to say, I know this is part of my culture and a part of where I come from and maybe who I am, but actually I choose not to wear this.
Right. The first thing we need to do is consider this term ethnocentrism. You see, when you look at someone through ethnocentric lenses, which means you judge them or you evaluate them based on how you do things in your own culture, immediately we start off on the wrong leg. So just because women in your culture don't cover, you can't look through those lenses and glasses and wonder why they're covered here. The second question we need to ask is, how does this woman's psychological and physical health get affected as a result of the hijab, or does it hold her back from participating or engaging in actively in the society? Is it an actual barrier? Is it a progressive barrier? Is it an educational barrier? Is it a professional barrier? And if the answers to those questions is no, then where is the judgment coming from? And we have to ask, is it just because you have seen stereotypes of women being oppressed, women being repressed, things in media, Hollywood movies? And there are cases of that. We must point this out. In my research, I have come across cases in parts of the world in where women are oppressed or have gone through very difficult issues. They may have happened to wear the hijab, they may not have, but we can't attach the two and generalize it in all cases, in all different scenarios. Ali will explain to us further, I'm sure, there are so many variations of wearing the hijab.
Well, you know, when it comes to the hijab, and I mean, abaya has nothing to do with it, because abaya is just us in the Gulf region. It's basically, in Islam, you're just supposed to cover your hair, you're supposed to cover your body in a modest way.
But even the abaya, Ali, is a way to show that, to not show the outlining of your body,
it's just like a cover to cover your own sensitive parts that doesn't come across. So if you are wearing something else and it's not showing, then you're good. You know, that's what happens in the other regions in Muslim communities. But the hijab, again, it is, I mean, we definitely, as a Muslim, I have to say, yes, hijab is something that we respect, and it's recommended, and, you know, families are actually embracing it on their own daughters and so on. But what we're saying is that we don't want to be in a point where we're judging others. And I personally always try to always, you know, get over the Islamic view on this all the time, and trying to say, I want to be as modest as possible and say, I have three sisters, all right? Here's my story. I have three sisters and my mom. If my mom, I remember how my father and my mom will always treat our own sisters in a way that, you know, you have to, as you grow slowly, you will embrace the hijab. You are not forced to put the hijab. The community we were living in, a lot of the girls are putting the hijab. So all of a sudden, the girl, you know, looks at this, and it's part of her own religion. Hence, you know, she embraces it. Now, there is two types. There is the one that is very extreme, where you have to put it when you're like 5 years old or 6 years old. And again, I don't want to say that's wrong. It depends on that family, how they view their devotion to God and to the religion. But most of us in the region here and in the UAE, there is no forcement. You know, you basically embrace it. There is a lot of sisters in the country who actually cannot even walk without it. It's part of their own identity. It's part of how they protect themselves. And it's part, which is majorly, to be devoted to God and the religion. Now, the various ways of putting the hijab, it's like the kandura. It's like the gutra. There is a man who puts the gutra on top of each other, you know, our men headgear. Yeah. There is the one who actually put it, you know, like a hamdaniya. The woman also put it in a way where she covers, you know, completely the hair. She might show a little bit of her hair. She might, you know, she might just put it in her own shoulder. Anyway,
like so, a scarf.
Like a scarf way or different colors. Once again, I don't want to be in a position where I judge that. I just want to be in a position where I say it is different. It represents her own devotion to the religion, and everybody is welcome to embrace whichever way they want to do. Obviously, there is always a major way or a main way, which is like any other religion. If you want to practice it, you have to practice it the proper way. If you want to devote yourself, you have to devote yourself the proper way. So there are Muslims. We're proud of that. Like, you know, I have one of my sisters completely covered. My other sister, you know, she's showing, she's a doctor, so part of her job, you know, she has to show her face and so on and so on. So that's her own choice. It's completely fine. What I hope that a lot of the people around the world is when they come here or they are perceiving, like, you know, now we hear some European countries are, you know, preventing women from wearing the hijab and so on. Unfortunately, they are looking at it from the lenses of saying, this is just like a man who's completely covering his face like a terrorist. And unfortunately, they have no idea that even covering your face is a custom that, I mean, it's a code. When you're living in the desert, it's, you know, there's sandstorm, you cover yourself. So people, unfortunately, taken that picture and linked it with others who've been using, you know, some wrong, whatever, you know, wrong actions in their life.
Right.
And they said, this is what Islam is all about. I like to say to all of those people around the world who fears the niqab or who fears the hijab or who fears a lady who's covered, is this is one of the reasons why the Middle East or the Arab world, and specifically the Gulf region, is one of the most safest countries, safest regions in the world. And this is why, and this is also one of the first answers that comes from every single expat lady living in the UAE. She would say, it's because I feel so safe. Now, why you feel so safe? Because our own women in the region have always shown us that they're always covered, very respectful, very modest, no temptation in the way that you're looking. Any man around the world, if he sees a lady half naked in the road, you know, it'll be kind of crazy for a man not to look twice. You know, he will be looking, he will be staring, and that might bother any woman. So what we're saying, these are values that we've been learned from our own religion. We hope, just like how we are embracing other people's cultures, is that people can just, if anything, it's just to take from the Islamic culture, mm-hmm. is the modesty in the way you dress, in the way that you reveal yourself in public.
And the things that you talk about, Ali, of course, you are also speaking to Emiratis, and you're saying that there are variations amongst Emiratis as well, and they should also have this sense of conscientiousness about, so it's not just for the expats,
absolutely.
It's for right.
Absolutely.
You were telling me earlier, Ali, you were at the Abu Dhabi Book Fair last week, and you were running one of your workshops, and you know, it was full, and there were all these different expatriates that were there, and you were so pleased to see it so busy. People had come because they care, because they want to know more, and they wanted to hear you speak and get to ask you their questions. But then what happened was that the Emiratis started to notice all of these people, and they came over and joined as well. So what you're getting there is, when we started off this hour with how the Emirati culture is affected by diversity, there are people that will look and go, oh, you are interested in who we are. You do respect who we are. And
absolutely.
Actually, maybe I need to take a step forward as well. And so we meet somewhere in the middle,
absolutely.
And are able to learn a little bit more about each other.
I think it's a great initiative by the Abu Dhabi International Book Fair. First of all, I mean, I thank them for giving me the opportunity to share these workshops. And I remember how when I arrived, it's kind of amazing, because we were supposed to start at 3:30, and I was telling my team, so anybody there? Because usually these sessions in book fairs, everybody's busy, so nobody comes. And I was like, they're like, Ali, there's about 25 people there already. And I'm like, what? Oh my goodness, really? So we rush. And then it was like couples, like families, expats. They were all like sitting. And so I came, and I'm like, oh, sorry, you know, we're going to start like in a second now. And then the minute I start, there was like 50 of them just sitting in lines and everything. There's some pictures on Facebook. It's really nice. And then all of a sudden, the locals started coming. So I can see like Arabs in general and Emiratis. And as they pass, they just stop. As they pass, they just stop and just they listen to me. And, you know, the whole time, what I'm interpreting in my own head, what's happening, is that they're like, is there really people in our country who came all the way here just to sit,
incredible.
To listen to this guy telling them what is the Kandura is about, what is modesty is about, who we are, what is the UAE flag represents, all that kind of stuff. And they, when I finished, they all came to me, they said, you know, we never thought that people are interested about this thing. I'm like, you're wrong, man. Everybody wants to learn about us.
Everybody wants to learn.
They are actually dying to learn about these things, but we're not giving them an opportunity, or maybe we are not really there for them.